Good evening. Let's take our hymn books and do some singing tonight. 505. The songs I've chosen are on testimony. 505 since Jesus came into my heart, all right?
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have life from for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. But o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus into my heart. I have seen from thy wandering, going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. Sins which were many are all washed away, since Jesus into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have passed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, Jesus came into my heart. And the dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus into my heart, since Jesus into my heart. What a joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell, city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
There's an alternate course. Since Satan came into our town, the devil, and since Jesus came into the town, the devil's been wearing a frown. Many lives have been changed, many homes rearranged since Jesus came into our town. So, alternate course. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we've experienced. And Lord, thank you for the joy that we have in knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, being our shepherd, our guide, our comforter, our provider. Lord, we're grateful for the many ways that you take care of us. Lord, thank you for the joy that we can have tonight as we sing. And might we enjoy each other's presence and encourage each other. We pray this in thy name. Amen. 515. Thou art my God. Let's do it a couple times through, all right? 515.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will extol thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy will forever endure. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art I will extol thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy will forever endure.
520. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, or redeemed, all right?
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. Child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, child and ever I am. Redeemed, and so happy in Jesus, no language rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, think of him all the day long. I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, child and forever I am.
525, Walking in with Jesus.
Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadow, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadow, walking with Jesus alone.
Now do the two lines below it, right? Walking, all right?
Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone.
Now I'm going to make it harder. Ladies, you do the top line. Men, we're going to do the two lines on the bottom, all right? Ladies on the top, men walking. All right, here we go.
Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone.
One more page over. In my heart there rings a melody.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody, heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. Rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody. Rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony. When the chords of heaven ring. Rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Great singing. 513. One more. 513. I saw Jesus in you. If you found it, would you stand with me as we sing?
When I enter heaven's glory, and I see my Savior's face. I will offer him 10,000 tears of praise. When I'm trying that special one, in his light I saw God's Son, and to tears the joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. While I stand by the Father to receive the Christ's reward, and my soul is made in God's eternal day, then his fate on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done. More than anything I long to hear his Father say, saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
If I'm not mistaken, he wrote this about his father, wrote this song about his dad. You may be seated.
Take out your hymn books again. I'm going to show you something in the back part of the book. Perhaps it's a part that you've never looked at before. Because our lesson this evening is going to be based on Psalm 119, verses 9 through 10, or 9 through 11. Page 643. And if you notice there in the scripture index, and then the next page is the scriptural basis index, the great majority of scripture that is used in this hymn book comes from the book of Psalms. In fact, there's about 88 or maybe 98 references under the scripture index under Psalms. And there's about 50 as far as the scriptural basis index on page 645. My point is this. God's word is very conducive to singing. And how important it is for us to incorporate that into our devotion time. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29. And so that reminded me of the importance of this Hebrew songbook. We're going to turn to Psalm 119. Psalms consists, someone put it this way, of 150 poems of Israel, written at different times by different authors, many of them by David, some by Hezekiah, some by Moses, and others. But there are psalms that express despair. Psalms that call for help from God. Psalms that acknowledge sin and guilt. Psalms that beg for God's divine vengeance upon enemies. We call them precatory psalms. Psalms rehearsing events in Jewish history. Psalms that motivate worship and praise to our God. Psalms also that anticipate the coming Messiah. And in all of them, in all of these psalms, there's a connection made between human emotions and divine providence. So the book of Psalms is a constant reminder that people need to understand their own feelings and experiences in connection with God and His Word. And that's an important distinction, that we don't base our convictions on how we feel, but we look at our feelings and we look at God's Word as the foundation for how we are to respond in those areas. And so because of the vast range of human feelings expressed in the Psalms, this book, the book of Psalms, remains one of the best loved and the most read from the Bible. And so it's fitting for us to go through a lesson from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 this evening. I want to begin reading. If I can find where I'm at here. Yes, here we go. Begin reading in verse 1. Blessed are the defiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your precious word. Thank You that we have the opportunity tonight to look into it, to allow it to give us light and direction for our pathway, that it would motivate us to serve You better, to honor You and to obey You in all that You say for us to do. May it guide our thinking. May it guide our speech. May it guide our steps, our hands, all that we are involved with in daily activities of life, that would guide us to know You better and to know You how we can serve You more faithfully in our earthly journey. And we'll thank You, Father, for what You will teach us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter begins with a blessing upon all those who obey and honor the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That means there is an obedient path that individual is taking. And how we need to have that before us daily. Lord, I want to walk in Your way, according to Your word, obeying what You say. The description there of the blessed there, walk in the Lord, verse 1. To keep His testimonies in verse 2. Walk in His ways, verse 3. Keep Thy precepts diligently, verse 4. In verse 5, ways directed to keep Thy statutes. Have respect unto all Thy commandments, verse 6. Shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, verse 7. I will keep Thy statutes, verse 8. And so God has given to us His word. And what a gift that is, that He desired to communicate with us who He is and what His plan is for our life. His desire then for us is to obey that word, to honor it above anything else. He's graciously given His word to provide direction for living. It is the rudder-setting manual for our lives. And it's a sad thing, and it's been this way for many centuries, where men have discarded this book as being irrelevant. Let me tell you what, it is more than relevant even now. It is sufficient. And Mike Mignard is going to be talking about that in the Sunday school lessons that he's preparing. The sufficiency of the Word of God for our daily living. Psalmist takes two steps in unpacking his teaching here concerning the Word of God. And we're going to begin in verse 9. Because here we find a tough question being asked. A tough question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's a concerning question, really. A concerning question. And it ought to be a concerning question. Not only for young men, but for young ladies and old men and old ladies and middle-aged as well. No matter what your age is, this is a concerning question for us. Ever since the fall of man into sin there in the Garden of Eden, this question confronts every man, every woman, every child with their sin. So there is an anguished concern here. And the question is focused upon the young man, full of perhaps hot passions and poor in knowledge and experience. How shall he get right? How shall he then stay right? I think there's never been a more important question to be asked and answered. And so it is an anguished concern, because this task is not an easy one. In fact, it's impossible for anyone outside of the grace of God to cleanse his way. A prudent individual wishes to choose a clean way, to be himself clean in it, to cleanse it of any foulness which may arise in the future, and to end by showing a clear course from the first step to the last. But his way is already unclean by actual sin in his life, because of the sin nature which he has from birth. He inherited it from Adam. And so there's a tendency toward that which is unclean. So here's the difficulty. And it is an anguished concern, because there seems to be a sense of doubt about accomplishing this task of becoming clean. That's hard for any individual, let alone a young man. So how shall a youth accomplish it? God's word has a cleansing effect when it's applied to your life. And what a blessing to be able to go to God's word and have what is within exposed in the light of God's truth, so that we'll be able to say, yes, this is not what God wants in my life, and I need to confess it and forsake it. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So it's an adolescent concern, but again, it really spans all ages. But he's definitely concentrating here upon youth. No nobler ambition can lie before any young person. This is an important question. Among all of the questions which a young person asks, and there are many, let this be the first and the chief one. Wherewithal shall I cleanse my way? How can a man be just before God? That was asked of Job, by Job, in the book of Job. And this question is suggested by common sense. It is pressed home by our daily occurrences, what happens on a daily basis. And it's not to be answered, it cannot be answered by unaided reason, nor can the directions on how to cleanse your way be carried out by unsupported human power. The psalmist says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible must be your chart. It must be your compass. You must exercise great watchfulness that your way would be according to the word of God and its directions. Not by what man says, but by what God has said in his word. It's important to do this. And it's not that the young men in our day require information. Well, They can go to their cell phones and get a whole world of information. What they require today is inclination, an inclination to do what's right, to choose the right way. Consideration, that way needs cleansing. Examination, and God's word is the examiner. Can you think of a verse that would back that up? I think of Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so God's word examines us. And then application, I think those words take heed. Especially it's necessary for the way is difficult. And there needs to be a constant focus on what does God's word say here. Look well to your goings, in other words. And that way is a narrow path. And it's a new path for the child of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we have a new path to walk in this journey. So it's an adolescent concern that is before us here tonight. We must be earnest inquirers, asking how we may cleanse our way. Let's always be practical disciples as well of our holy God, who alone can teach us how to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. That trinity of defilers by whom many a hopeful life has been spoiled. We must not be ashamed to ask this question, for if a young man can be cleansed, then anyone can. The young men, again, are not the only ones who need this instruction. The sense, I think, of the verse encourages all of us to be very early and often sensible to this dilemma, to this question. Our God is so ready, and our God is so able to instruct us from His Word on how to have a clean life. By the way, the Bible is a book for young people. How important, parents and grandparents, it is for us to instill that into the lives of the young people, our children and grandchildren. It has answers on how to handle strong passions, how to handle self-sufficiency, how to handle inexperience and wrong thoughts and words and deeds. And many people have tried to answer this tough question in their own wisdom and by their own experience. Some would say, well, you need to be baptized. Some would say you must be catechized. You must give money. You must do good deeds. You must be kind to everyone. God's word has a very different answer, doesn't it? We must be obedient to the word of God. The psalmist takes a second step in showing us his teaching on this important subject, and that's affirming a terrific solution. We find it in verse 9. And this is a comforting answer, is it not? A comforting answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Some of the question is this. How shall a man that is impure, naturally defiled with sin, be made able, as soon as he comes to the use of reason, to purge out that natural corruption and live a holy and a pure life before God? And the answer is there. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's an infinitely powerful resource that is before us. I wonder how often do we realize that? This book, infinitely powerful resource that is before us to live a life that is holy. Look around you. Monumental needs with anemic resources that fill our world. And all around us there are pockets of emptiness and brokenness. People who are trying to fill up the loneliness of their life. Bind up the brokenness of their life from anemic resources. Could be money that they're looking to, material things, abuse of drugs, alcohol, sex, power, and position. But God's word is the only infinitely powerful resource. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, that is sufficient for regeneration. Paul there writes to this young man, Timothy, so you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's regeneration. What about Revelation? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's revelation of what is true. And for reproof, refutation, what is not true. For correction, that's restoration to back to what is true. And then regulation, verse 16 and 17, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so you and I need this infinitely powerful resource. The Bible, again, must be our chart and compass. And it's an awful thing when we are compassless, when we are directionless in life. And there are threatenings and sweet encouragements that need to move us in the right direction. And so this terrific solution that we have before us to this tough question draws us to this infinitely powerful resource, thy word, thy word. Our attention is upon another indispensable ingredient, and that is an intensely personal response by taking heed. Many times it's not more information that we need about what to do. It is often more inclination to obey and to follow the word of God. So let's pay attention. So what does God's word say? Often there's a proneness in youth to be thoughtless, careless, presumptuous, self-confident. And let me say, this is not just concentrated in the youth. Can be also manifested in any age. But there's an absolute necessity here for taking heed because of the difficulty of the way. Turn with me to Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 14. 14 and verse 15. Get it right here. We are to look well to our goings because it is a narrow path. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. It's a narrow path. It's a new path. It's a slippery path sometimes. It's an eventful path. So take heed concerning your own desires, companions, pursuits, and allow the word of God to wash you and to cleanse you. What will happen to the one who does not heed the word of God? Well, that individual very likely will follow the path of vanity, selfishness, sensuality, will lead them down into moral uncleanness. But when you believe the message of God's word, when you receive its Christ, when you obey its mandates, when you trust the teachings of the word of God, when you build your life upon this dynamic foundation, then you step into the way of righteousness and you find the path of purity, godly living, and holiness. And that's what we are to pursue. Pursue holiness in the fear of God. I think in the book of Hebrews it says that. So in the word of God we have a terrific solution. God's word has a controlling effect as well. Notice that in verse 10. Verse 10 where it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It's a tragic thing for a Christian to start well in his or her Christian life and then to simply just wander away. God's word has a controlling effect upon us. And I think that the key is the focus here on a whole heart. A wholeheartedness towards seeking God and his word. And not to be wandering from his commandments. That's a great secret of a holy life. With my whole heart, I have sought thee. I have an illustration here of Patrick Henry, the Revolutionary War hero. And it gives us, I think, exceptional insight into his conviction and his stand. This revolutionary hero began by demanding that the colonists have the same rights as Englishmen. And he was a born lawyer. In 6 weeks, with only a stack of books, he taught himself enough Virginia law to force the examiners to sign his application to be admitted to the bar. And I'm talking about lawyer's bar, okay? Not an alcoholic bar. In 3 years, he tried over 1,000 cases, most of which he won. And when the British imposed the Stamp Act of 1765 upon the colonies to make them help pay for the soldiers who guarded their Indian frontiers, Patrick Henry exploded. He saw it as a violation of the Magna Carta. And when things finally came to a head, he lifted his voice there in Richmond, Virginia. He said, "Gentlemen may cry peace, peace," he said, "but there is no peace. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains? As for me," and you know the rest of the quotation, "give me liberty or give me death." He seemed a dangerous man to many, but he was the real driving force behind the American Revolution. God's word has a controlling effect. It also has a correcting effect, and we find that in verse 11. And that's a verse that we're all familiar with. We've memorized it. "Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word, to hide it in our hearts. Oh, how important it is for, in a ministry of local church, we're memorizing a scripture verse on a monthly basis. Hide that word in your heart. Look it up. Find out what it means. And do a little more study on it. Just don't recite it on a Sunday morning. Make it a part of your daily life through that month. How important for Sunday school teachers as they instill in the heart of their students the Word of God. Kids for Truth leaders as they instill in the hearts of their clubbers the Word of God. It's important for us. It has a correcting effect upon us. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And that's where sin always goes. Sin is against God, ultimately. And we need to remember that. God's word, when applied to your life, gives sufficient light to expose our need for cleansing. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It provides sufficient energy for that cleansing. And it's sufficient energy because it is divine energy. It is the powerful, precious word of God. We cannot summon this energy upon ourselves by ourselves. It gives sufficient pleasure to encourage us to choose the cleansing of our way. It motivates us. I want to be a clean individual, a clean vessel for the Lord to use. And it offers sufficient support to sustain us in our cleansed way. God's word has terrific cleansing power. And you and I need to be able to answer this question: how can I have my way cleansed? Well, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word, how precious it is to us. We thank you that it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And it is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And powerfully, it can bring about conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And, O Lord, I pray that you would help us to live clean lives as we honor and obey your word daily. Help us to do so in our homes, in all of our relationships, in all of our activities, to say, "Lord, I want to be a clean vessel that you can use." We'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 294, Steve. I'm going to sing that. Just one verse of 294, and then we'll break up for prayer here. trust his word.
Jesus was entire in heaven. He created earth and sea. He's the keeper of all knowledge, what is past and what will be. Yet he offers his great wisdom, so you will not lose your way. Like a lamp, it glows every step, it shows, know his will each day. Trust his word, trust his word. All God's promises are true, trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word.
If you notice under the title, scripture verse reference from Psalm 119 and verse 42, I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. We have a couple of answers to prayer. Colton Graff, I mentioned, is cancer-free. Pastor John Schofield from Calvary Baptist Church in Grenada, Minnesota, is cancer-free. Been battling that for several years. So thank the Lord for these answers to prayer. Dan is back driving today. So we praise the Lord for that as well. Had a good checkup with her neurologist the other day. Will still be on medication, of course, but is able to do some driving. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, David.
Can we have a praise first?
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Anyone else? Wendy. Okay, let's pray for her sister Susie in that regard. Also, Tim Federhoff has been looking for a new job, and he became general manager of Subway today, started today, this morning. So that's an answer to prayer for him as well, Tim Federhoff. All right, anyone else? Nan? Yes, we've got a lot of wildfires up north, so pray for the firefighters that are battling those flames up there. Hopefully the rain will help to help them out in the day to come. Pray for Joshua Straub. He'll be graduating tomorrow from the University of Minnesota, and his open house will be then on Friday afternoon, I believe, at the house there in Plymouth. Okay, here's Miss for prayer.